Guys, it's 10 p.m. We're gonna do this guide in Mount Agung. Agung, it's supposed to be the hardest one here. So I'll see you in a bit. I don't know.
Ready, num num.
Check one, check two. Birdie, what's up, ladies and gents, and welcome back to another episode of the Birdie Num Num Podcast. Sanjay Manangtala here. I'm having a good week. I really hope you all are having a good week. And part of having a good week is, of course, learning to use social media properly, which is the topic of this week's podcast, because I recently was remembering a trip I made to Bali. And, you know, I talk about creativity a lot on this podcast because I feel, you know, especially those of us in the non-creative or non-majority creative communities of South Asian culture and stuff like that, we kind of look for a way to engineer creativity, if you will, as oxymoronic as that may sound. But there is a way and there is a process. And, you know, there's a great quote I love from one of these books, Daily Rituals, which I read a while back, where they asked some famous writer like Thoreau or one of these, you know, old school writers from back in the day, like, oh, do you just go to the Himalayas or do you go to Bali to like wait for inspiration to strike while you're sitting looking out the window at a nice pretty lake? Or, you know, do you kind of, you know, sit down with a pen and paper and go to the library? Like, how do you do your creativity? And he's like, oh, I actually wait for inspiration to strike. But lucky for me, inspiration strikes every morning at 9 a.m. when he's at the desk, you know what I mean? Or she's at the desk, whoever it was. So I was remembering when I went to Bali looking for like inspiration and looking for all that stuff, I had decided I am going to climb a mountain, Mount Agung, I think is what it's called. And this was a big trek that we did, or I did, and it was like 2 days, hardest thing I've ever done in my life, to be honest, in terms of a trek. And it was crazy, like, you know, you think, oh, it's going to be easy. Nundi Hills or freaking these, it's a TripAdvisor thing. But this was like 18 hours. Imagine climbing stairs, like proper stairs for like 18 hours. Like that's what it felt like. And ironically enough, not ironically, but coincidentally enough, that mountain erupted in Bali a few weeks later. But this got me thinking about where I am right now, where some of you might be, which is in the social media jungle, in the you know, in the crazy time that we live in with the smartphone and the laptop and trying to do stuff, whether it's MBA or, and the MBA podcast, by the way, being received so well. So thank you. Still getting daily messages, added those messages to my highlights so you can get that advice whenever you want rather than them going away on an ephemeral story. But I was thinking about this Bali trip because with regards to social media, because I remember when I was like doing this trek and I was like crying, dude, after like 2 hours, fell after 20 minutes, because these treks in like Bali and India, like they start kind of smooth and then they kind of slowly like go like that. And so you think it's going to be a nice leisurely stroll, 2 hours, medium grade slow, but all of a sudden the trek leaders and the guides and the porters, or what's it called? Sherpas. Yeah. They like all like they don't give you like any, you know, I mean, they're like, all right, come on, do it. But it's like, hey man, you signed up for this. It's my job to carry your tea, coffee, water, but the rest is up to you. And we're like, oh, it's like, I thought it would be like a nice thing. But so we were doing this trek and I left at 10 PM. I got my own guide. 10 PM, I met the dude and he was like some young kid and he's probably done this a million times, smoking cigarettes on the way up, whatever. By 11 PM, I'm like drenched in sweat. It's like literally so cold, yet I am so warm because of all the, and I'm like sweating, taking off my sweatshirt, tying it around and just like working my way up. And we finally get up there by like, I think maybe 7-8 hours later. It's like 6-7 in the morning, whatever time it is, the sun is coming up. And I wanted to quit literally after 90 minutes. Then I wanted to quit again after another 30 minutes. And every 20 minutes, you're pretty much like crying and like grasping for air and that sort of thing. And I remember one very particular scene, like ahead of me were like all these like Russians or Eastern European people. And, you know, they were like, and one of these guys was like, not, I'm not saying I'm fit, but he was like not in as good a shape as me. And so he was like going really fast. And I was like, man, that guy needs to pace himself out. Sure enough, caught up to him. And then I'll never forget, like, it's pitch black on this trek. So you can't see to the right of you. You can't see to the left of you. You have your headlamp. All you can really see are a few steps ahead. But there was one moment specifically at around 3 a.m. and I'm like, dude, I've never been this tired ever in my life. And I don't know what I signed up for, but I'm determined not to quit. You know, I'm like determined. And I already see people who have given up at like 3 a.m. and they're like passing me on the way down, but they've not even reached the top. And they're like, F this. It's been 4 hours of this. I can't go another 4 hours. I just need to make my way down. Right. So we have no idea. And as I'm like really struggling, I kind of look up, even though it's pitch black darkness and clouds. But then from my, you know, we're all wearing these like headlamps, right? And I look up and I see another literally like 1,000 meters up ahead, or, you know, 500 meters up ahead. I mean, a far distance, but I can see little lights like bobbing like in the jungle ahead. You know what I mean? And basically that's telling me, hey, you got to go up there and look how high. They looked like planes flying ahead of me, right? And I was like, holy crap, dude. And that was so demotivating, because not only was I struggling, I also saw how much further I had to go and how those guys were so much further ahead of me. And I'm sure there were people ahead of them that were, you know, demotivating to them. And eventually, like, my guide was like, do not look up. You know, like, he had limited English skills, but he was like, do not look up. Let's just keep going. Stop when you want to stop, whatever. And dude, sure enough, eventually your mind plays tricks with you, but you kind of just get into like tunnel vision and you just take it one step at a time. And by like 5:30 a.m., I had caught up to those people, because maybe they were not pacing themselves well or whatever the case, or maybe they rested too long. And by like 6:30, 7 a.m. when I got up there and the sun was rising, I was like the seventh person up out of like 200 people who started the trek. And I think 100 drop out, right? So like, and I'm not in crazy shape. I'm not better than like, you know, like half those people physically. But I was like number seven up. And it got me thinking, dude, like with social media, you know, every time you open your phone with Facebook or Twitter, or Instagram, especially, because man, Instagram is, it's so addictive, dude. You're basically looking up, you know what I mean? You're also looking down at people who are behind you, maybe unnecessarily making yourself feel better about it, but you're looking up and you're getting discouraged because maybe you just decided you wanted to write a book, or you wanted to get an MBA, or you wanted to get that job, yet now you're seeing somebody else who's already finished it and already has the fancy job, or has already got the 1 million YouTube subscribers, or has already got the girlfriend or boyfriend or the money or the house or the car or whatever. And rather than letting you get your tunnel vision to focus on how you get to that point, and eventually maybe even pass them, all you're doing is like, I'll never make it up there. And you turn around, right? And I know it's like, maybe you've heard this before, but and I've said this before for sure, but dude, social media, like data-driven companies, you know, on Facebook, they literally have studies on what color the notification icon should be. Should it be red? Should it be green? Should it be blue? Right? On Instagram, they spend hours, thousands of hours, and terabytes and petabytes of data on understanding where certain buttons should be for your finger to move so that you use the platform more effectively, more quickly, and you stay on it longer, right? They make it easier to tag your friends. I don't know why they don't make it easier to use hashtags. That still, I feel, is like a manual typey thing, but they make it so easy. And it used to be 10 years ago, wow, these companies are data driven and we make all our decisions on data. But if the data is telling you on a YouTube thumbnail to put cleavage of some like bikini model, because that'll get more clicks, just because you can do that doesn't mean you should do that. You know what I mean? Especially if that's just clickbait, or if the data is telling you, like, man, there's so much crazy stuff happening in the news right now. And the weirdest part for me, number one, I don't talk about politics because nobody wants to hear an NRI talk about Indian politics in India. Like, I get trolled so hard when I like talk and they're like, why is Modi doing that? Oh, you don't know. Go back to your haven, whatever the hell. I'm like, I've been here 10 years. But if you find 50 videos or the School of WhatsApp University or the WhatsApp data center saying that this person attacked this person, and then you find 50 other videos saying the opposite, forget East or West, right or left, you know, this party, that party, there is attack on truth. So you can never know. Dude, even a Times of India reporter or Bangalore Times reporter or Indian Express or whatever, these reporters make 20, 30, 40,000. Instagram influencers make more in rupees per month than half these reporters. And naturally, all they care about is getting the story out fast, quick, because that's what the data tells you, right? So when everyone is moving for higher click-through rates and higher readership and faster news cycles, naturally there will be attack on truth, right? And bringing it back to social media with like data-driven companies and, you know, yeah, we're data-driven and we're amazing, but social media platforms we all know are designed to be addictive. You know what I mean? And just like anything that's addictive, sugar or freaking alcohol or, dude, even marijuana, yes, legalize it for sure. I'm all about it, right? But if you're going to use something that's an addictive substance or probably not great for you, I mean, use it responsibly. You know what I mean? Like the people who are on social media, who are killing it on social media, don't spend all their time on social media. You know what I mean? Like they're creating, not consuming, or a drug dealer sells the drug, but he or she doesn't always, I mean, do weed every day. Like I have friends who like smoke pot all the time, yet they're hustling and they're crazy and they're doing a good job with how it inspires their creativity or their work or getting them through their personal situation. But then I also have friends who just smoke pot daily and do nothing and eat pizza and watch Netflix. And that's not the kind of reason like I want to like chill and enjoy. But if I'm having a drink, I want to have a drink with freaking Elon Musk talking about taking over the world after all the hard work we've done during the day, you know? So with social media, it's basically a data-driven drug. Like we know it's addictive. We know it's data-driven. We know if you consume it too much, you're going to sit on your phone all day and hurt your back and hurt your eyes and you're not going to do anything. And most importantly, you're just going to keep looking up and up and up and get discouraged and get paralyzed, dude. And, you know, I've had Shyam on this podcast many times. He's a psychiatrist or psychologist friend of mine. I never know the difference, even though he's explained to me 1,000 times. And like, I was looking at this other guy on Twitter. You should follow N-A-V-A-L, Neville. And you know, yes, anxiety is a thing. Yes, depression is a thing. You know, yes, stress is a thing, but these things are amplified by this thing, right? So I'm not saying it's not like a normal thing that you can't, or it's not something that doesn't exist. I agree it exists, dude, but I have so many friends of mine, family of mine who like make issues out of nothing, or if they just learn, just like we tell people, if you just learn to eat healthy, half the weight would fall off. Well, if you just learned how to have tunnel vision outside of social media, you would do so well on social media. You know what I mean? Like I have a lot of friends, comedian friends I'm talking to right now, and they're like, I don't understand the point of making videos and making and trying to get followers. Or they're like, how do I get verified on my page? And I'm like, well, why do you want to get verified? Like, I don't know. It'll be cool if I have a blue tick. And I'm like, all right, but ultimately, you should do something that people want to follow, whether it's your funny comedy videos or your podcast or whatever. But they just think of some like weird, it's called like a vanity metric, I think, where it's just like, oh, he has 1 million subscribers, but he's a broke. Or, oh, she's verified and she has 900,000 Instagram followers. And all she's doing is posing with her feet out in the sand at Bali wearing a nice dress. But is she telling you what dress to buy? Is she making money off of that? Is she partnering with makeup brands? Is she doing it properly, right? So, this is, I personally feel, is where the world is headed. And I personally feel like in whatever you're doing, you know, my wife is studying for US medical stuff right now. I'm working on all this stuff. And the reason I'm consistent these days, touch wood for the time being, is because I keep remembering that Bali trip where, dude, I looked up and I was like, crap, I should turn around. And then when I stopped looking up, I ended up passing those guys. And then half of them met me up there, and then the other half had already turned down. And here's the craziest part about this whole story, right? On the way back, now I'm sure a lot of you who have done treks know the way down is sometimes even harder than the way up. But mentally, because you know you're on your way home, you know you're on your way to that hot tub, you know you're on your way to, I mean, you've already hit the summit. So now it's just like getting home safely and just making it. Dude, on the way down, so once the sun came up, and it lit, and I'm gonna try to hopefully put B-roll from my trip to Bali on this. Like when the sun came down and I'm walking down, there were literally times where I looked and I was like, holy crap. Like on the way down, I was like, I came all this way. Like I walked all this way up. Like there's no way, if I did this trek during the day, I would have quit for sure because I would have seen how high up that mountain was. But because I couldn't see it on the way up, my body was fine. My brain was fine. And, you know, yeah, I was hurting and I was tired, but mentally I was focused. Where on the way down, I was like, oh my God, like it just never stops on the way down. And my guide was like, yeah, you came up all this way. And on top of that, there were places where you know, there was parts where you could literally fall 5 feet to the left and hopefully you'd survive. But you, I mean, you might not, you know? And so had I seen that, I would have gotten in my head. It's kind of like, you know, a performer performing, not knowing if there's 100 people behind the curtain or 10,000. And if you do that, that doesn't get into your psyche and you just give the best you can do. And so I was like, whoa, dude, like it was such a freaking trip to me. Because on the way down, we were passing people who had quit and we were passing people who, you know, we're doing the trek in the daytime. And they were like, how did you do it? And I was like, I don't know how I did it because I wasn't looking at it. I was just doing it and I finished it, right? So kind of with social media that way, like if you constantly follow other people and you constantly look at their metrics or vanity metrics and their numbers, you're never going to get there. But if you're just consistent, if you're daily, if you just keep doing stuff with some bit of purpose and intention of, you know, dude, if you're like a mental health Instagram influencer, you know what I mean? You could look at the people like Mind Valley or whoever who are just murdering it in that space, Headspace, Sam Harris, whatever, or you could just start your own way and slowly start to see what works and use your own data-driven approach, right? So, or if you're, I get emails all the time, hey, we have an app and we'd love to talk to you, or hey, can we come on your podcast to talk about our business, which is helping creators do this and that? And I'm like, man, you can come on my podcast once you've done one for 20 episodes, or man, I will happily come on your show, but I will be the 30th guest, not the first, you know, like, because I want people to just start doing it. Because then when I come on, and the same thing, when somebody else, I'm begging to come on my show, like Russell Peters, please come on my show, or, you know, Aziz or whoever, I'm sure now they have done so many crap interviews with people just recording like the podcast from their cell phone. Had I done that at point one, I never would have made it valuable. But now that I know what to ask them and how not to waste time, but tell me about your backstory. You've said 8,000 times already. It's a waste of time, right? So all of this stuff helps. And don't let social media paralyze you by kind of just focusing on it. Just remember, if you focus on your five steps ahead, dude, you will fly. It's like the same thing. I keep a towel over the treadmill when I run because I don't want to know how far I've run. I just look at the clock to my left on the wall that says 30 minutes. And then when I keep checking underneath the towel, I always go slower. But when I keep the towel up and I just let the clock go for 30 minutes, I'm like, holy crap, I did 5.5 kilometers. Or normally I do like 4.7, 4.8. So that's it for this week, you guys. We have a nice open dialogue, you and I, every week. And I hope that was helpful. Let me know your comments, your thoughts. Please, as always, send me a detailed comment. You know, if this was helpful to you, or criticism constructively, whatever it might be. But remember, like, even this podcast, I love, for some reason, whenever I review my own podcast, like, my wife makes fun of me because I'll be at the gym listening to myself and she's like, how obsessed are you? I'm like, no, I'm trying to make sure there's no like sound glitch or defect or video freezing or whatever. But I listen to it at like 1.25 and at 1.5. And I highly recommend anybody who listens to any podcast, if you can follow the narrator or the person, dude, I'm obsessed right now with listening to any podcast at like 1.5 speed, 2 speed, because I just feel I consume it a lot faster, but it's been so informative and so entertaining to me. So, and I hope this is helpful to you. So, anyways, you guys, Sunday Morning Tala, I will see you next week. Birdie num num, birdie num num, birdie num.